It's the Leading on Purpose podcast, helping leaders, teams, and organizations lead more intentionally, effectively, and with purpose. Well, welcome to today's episode. I'm really, really excited about today's episode because today I get to welcome for the first time ever a co-host. And this is an individual that is someone who's been really important in my life, a mentor for me, and just excited to spend some time with him on this podcast. And it's Doug Waltman. Doug, thank you so much for agreeing to join me and co-host the Leading on Purpose podcast.
John, thanks for the invitation. Good to be with you, and happy New Year to you. It's good to be here.
Happy New Year to you as well. One of the things I wanted to do is just get you introduced to our Leading on Purpose audience. And while I said earlier, you've been a mentor for me, someone who spent a number of years in the consulting space, like me, a leadership nerd, I would say, someone who has continued to study leadership. But if you could, maybe just a few minutes on your background and why leadership maybe is so interesting to you.
Yeah. My career's been kind of two separate chapters, a 25-year corporate chapter, and then the last 15 years with my own consulting practice. And for whatever reason, when I was in my undergraduate studies, the topic of leadership just really struck a chord for me. I was interested in it. And so for those 25 years in a variety of organizations, industries, I really focused my efforts on leadership development, other human resource disciplines. But I just have the belief that the quality of leadership that's inside an organization just makes all the difference in the world in terms of performance. And during the 25 years, I had the opportunity to take on more and more responsibility. In my last 2 years, I was on the executive team of two publicly traded companies, H&R Block as their chief people officer, and then also with Applebee's, heading up a variety of their disciplines. And I got to the point where it's like, you know, I want to go out on my own and make a difference even broader within organizations. So that's what I've done the last 15 years, and have just really, really enjoyed that work a great deal. And one of the benefits of doing that work I found for my own development as a leader is you're so aware of everything that leaders need to do, ought to do, shouldn't do, that I just became real curious about myself as a leader and how I was showing up and the impact I was making for, you know, for people. And that journey continues today. I'm still each and every day learning more about myself and just how you interact with other people, whether that be in a work environment, a volunteer environment, with your kids, with your spouse, whoever it might be. So, that's my journey in a nutshell.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. And it's a story that I know, but always love hearing. And just again, so excited to have you here. I can't promise that I'll stop gushing over your impact on me. So sorry to our audience, but you're going to hear a lot about Doug's impact on me and my career and my journey. A lot of the reasons behind why I'm doing what I'm doing currently as a consultant have to do with you. So thank you for that, sir.
Thank you, John.
Great. Well, today's topic, you know, as we kind of explore different things we could, talk about together, a lot of topics came to the top of the list. One that we spent a lot of time on, whether it was us co-facilitating, just having conversations about leadership, is a style of leadership called the coaching leadership style. And so I think we agreed, boy, if we got into that topic, who knows how long it could take, where it could go, because it is such a deep topic and a near and dear topic, I think, to both of our hearts. And so that's where we're going to start today, is with this coaching leadership style. And really, first out of the chute, I thought we'd spend just a few minutes from a really a theoretical perspective, just defining what do we mean when we say coaching? Because you say the word coaching out there, it can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. We want to level set with all of you on what we mean when we say the coaching leadership style. And so what I thought we would do first is just really provide the theoretical definition right out of the textbook, if you will, from Korn Ferry Hay Group. And this is one of their six leadership styles that they've identified in their research of leaders and organizations over the years. And so really out of the chute, primary objective that they define behind this coaching leadership style is that the primary emphasis is all around the long-term professional development of employees. And so coaching as a leadership style really focuses on the person and their potential, not necessarily on the task. Leaders who use the coaching style help an individual to identify their unique strengths and weaknesses and develop the skills and behaviors they need to achieve their professional aspirations. And then lastly, it says, the leader helps the employee establish a development plan, provides ongoing support and feedback, and identifies growth opportunities. So that's a lot, but let's maybe start there. Doug, your reaction as I just even read that textbook definition of coaching.
Yeah, John, there is an awful lot there. And I think as I listen to you read those words about the coaching leadership style, and we're going to, in our conversation, even bring more clarity to what that looks like. I think for me, as I learned about the coaching leadership style, and as I've worked with leaders around their coaching leadership style, there's some unlearning that needs to happen when you hear the word coaching.
Yeah.
So you and I both are athletes. You perform at a higher level of athletics than I have. No.
Depends on the sport.
Intended. And so when I first heard about the coaching leadership style, and before I heard that definition, my mind automatically went to coaches that I've experienced, athletic coaches. And a lot of times when I ask people, what do you think of when you think of coaching, they go to the world of sports and say, well, what do coaches do? And so often their response is, well, they tell people what to do, what play to run, where to be, what skills to develop. And in many ways, the definition that you just shared to me almost turns the traditional view of coaching upside down. Because it isn't about the coach or the leader. It is about the person receiving the coaching, their development, their needs, their relationship to the issue that they're dealing with. So it's such a impactful way to engage with folks. But I have found from my own experience in working with other leaders, you have to be really open to rethinking how you view coaching and how you view your relationship and the impact that you have with people when you're actually coaching them.
Yeah, completely agree. And one of the things I've talked a lot about, both in my consulting work and a few times, I think, over the course of podcast episodes, is the importance as a leader to be mindful of the potential gap between intent and impact, or intent and perception. And coaching is one of those interesting situations where I think you make a great point around it's about the impact on the person. And you could tell yourself, well, that was a coaching interaction. But if the person walked away feeling directed or feeling like you were just telling me what to do, what play to run, that wasn't actually a coaching experience for me. It didn't add to my growth and development in the long term. I walked away very clear on the immediate task or objective, but not so much in terms of my, you know, long-term growth and my own capacity to maybe make decisions for myself. That was not impacted.
Yeah, it's a great insight. And like in the definition you just mentioned, it talks about the development of the person. And I think sometimes when people think about providing development for folks, it's like, okay, what book could they read or what workshop could they attend? But the reality is the vast majority of development that any of us receive in the workplace comes from the experiences that we're having and the opportunity for us to try out new things, learn about ourselves. And a leader so uniquely positioned to create that kind of environment for a person where they feel as though they are gaining additional insights about themselves or their role or the business that they're in. So it's one of those things where it has to be about the person that you're coaching. And it doesn't mean, John, that there aren't times where leaders do need to be directive.
Right.
And tell somebody what to do. So is if this is the first time anyone's heard of the coaching leadership style, please be clear. We're not suggesting, well, this is how you lead all the time. There are those situations for a variety of reasons where a leader needs to step in and say, you need to do X. Yeah. It could be a safety reason. It could be a compliance issue. Frankly, if somebody's really struggling in their performance and you've done all kinds of coaching, it's time to be a bit more directive.
Yeah.
But when the opportunity is right, and there's many of them where the coaching leadership style is appropriate, it's remarkable what a difference it can make for people.
Yeah. A couple thoughts that came up as you were talking there. One is I think we're thinking of the coaching leadership style definitely in terms of the framing the leader has when they approach a situation in terms of, okay, this is about the impact on the person. And being very mindful as a leader, as I said earlier, around the potential gap between intention and perception. How's this landing? Are they feeling growth and development through this conversation or this interaction or this opportunity that I'm providing them? But something that occurred to me as you're just describing that is the framing for the individual on the receiving end sounds like it's pretty important here as well. Meaning, how do I view development for myself? Because I think the myth of where development comes from is on both sides of this coin, the leader and the member of the team. Meaning, yeah, it's not about the next seminar or workshop I'm signed up to go to. It's not around the next book I'm reading. Those are complements to my development. But where the magic happens, as you said, is really in the experiences that I go through over the course of the opportunity to do my work, perform my work.
Yeah, it's a great point. I remember early on in my career, so this would have been many years ago. I haven't thought about this in a long, long time. I remember having my annual performance review, and part of that was, development for this next year. And I expressed my concern that I hadn't really been provided a lot of development opportunities. I remember my leader asking, what do you mean? I said, well, I was supposed to go to a conference this year, I think, and it got canceled, and maybe I went to one workshop and I was really hoping I would get more. And he, this was one of the best leaders I ever worked for, in a very intentional, supportive way, because we just got done talking about all my accomplishments for the year. And he said, take a look at that list and let me ask you a question. What'd you learn about yourself this last year? How are you different today than you were a year ago as a result of accomplishing what you did? And I really didn't know where he was going with that question. I just started listing out. Well, I had to reach out to others in the organization to develop relationships to get this project done. Great. And I just went down the list. And before he knew it, John, it was just this beautiful laundry list of I've grown in these particular areas, not through a book, not going through a workshop. And by the way, books and workshops are great.
I'm a big fan of them too, providing them.
Right, exactly. But I'll never forget that, because that was one of the first times, way before I knew about the coaching leadership style, that I had a sense, oh, that's how we grow and develop as human beings. And it's, how do we just improve our awareness around, what am I learning about myself? What gifts do I have? What development opportunities is this experience pointing out? So anyway, it is also, I love your thought around, for the person being coached, it's a reframing for them in terms of their development and how they're going to grow and develop in the future.
Yeah. And maybe fodder for a whole other episode, but the importance of understanding and framing in your mind, how do we grow and develop? Because one of the things that is always been important to me, and I think you've done a nice job over the years of defining this for leadership groups and cohort style experiences I've seen you facilitate, which is grounding people in the concept of how actual growth and development occurs. Yep. And it's largely through not just the experiences. I don't get to just bounce around experience to experience and all of a sudden I magically learn. But I think what you're pointing to is that piece of reflection. And again, that's fodder for probably a whole other episode, but maybe for today's purposes, how can you as the leader, when you're using the coaching leadership style, drive reflection? It's like, okay, you had this experience and maybe while you were in it, you didn't view it as a development experience, but if we can reflect back on it together, could there be some learnings and insights there that contribute to your growth and development?
Yes, it's you know, for example, if listening to this podcast today is the first time you've ever heard the definition of the coaching leadership style, and you're still trying to come to terms with it and what it would look like, let me just give a for instance. Let's say that you're a leader of an individual on your team, and you just sat in a presentation that they did for a group of people. And as you're listening to the presentation, whether you're writing it down or just mentally cataloging it, it's like, okay, here are the things that went well in the presentation, and then here's some things that maybe they could have done differently. And coaching is about, first of all, following up with the person. To coach, you got to be with the human being. And my old style, before I was really familiar with coaching, would have been, hey, let me share with you feedback on your presentation today. And I would generally lead with, here's what went well, but here's some of the things that if you'd done differently, I think would have increased your effectiveness in the presentation. And coaching is not that. Coaching is being in conversation with the person for their growth and development, asking them the question, talk to me about your experience today in that meeting. What excited you? What concerned you? What puzzled you? And then just listening to it. And John, when we coach that way and ask those questions, it gives you so much insight about where is that person in their development. Yeah. Sometimes when I use that approach, this person responds back, here's what went well, here's some things to change. It's like, oh my gosh, they not only knocked out the list of things I had, they noticed some things that I didn't even notice. On the other end of the spectrum, if you ask somebody that question and they barely have any observation or insight about their performance, that's instructive. Because now as a coach, as a leader, I'm thinking, okay, this person that I'm working with here, one of the things I need to muscle build with them is their ability to notice their performance and reflect on it.
Yes.
So again, this is that notion of you're turning coaching just totally upside down from what people would say. Well, a good coach would get with the person after the meeting and give them the critique and the list. It's like, no, that's not the coaching we're talking about. It's driving the insight and the understanding from the person without you as the leader having to do that for them.
Yeah. Yeah. An important question that I coaching leaders on is who's driving in the conversation? Who's doing the driving? And so if you're wondering, how do I apply some of the content from today's episode in my conversations with my team? How do I coach more, use this coaching leadership style? That's one of the first questions to ask yourself is who is driving the conversation? Who's doing all the lifting? And if you're forcing the reflection, if you're telling them the insights they ought to have, if you're directing them on how to reflect on a particular experience, probably not really coaching. That's more of a directive style.
So, John, and earlier you made the comment around it's not only reframing the understanding of coaching for the person doing the coaching, but the person receiving it. So one of the things that I've been challenged by in working with leaders on really leaning into the coaching leadership style and using it more is not appreciating the difference and the impact it can have on the people they're coaching. So, for example, if you and I were in a relationship, and over the years, as I've been your leader, when you come to me with a problem and the dance step we've established with each other is I give you the answer. And then all of a sudden you come into my office with a problem and I'm like, well, I've learned about this coaching leadership style. I think I need to have John reflect on this and own it. And instead of giving you an answer, I go, John, what do you think about this? Well, that's confusing.
Yeah.
It's shocking. It's like, I'm not used to doing that.
Yep.
And so as you lean into this coaching leadership style, if you really start thinking about your relationships with folks, is to understand not only can this be a new way for you to lead them, but it's a new way for them to experience your leadership.
Yeah.
And just being patient with that process for yourself and for the people that you're leading, because it is a very different way of being engaged with each other many times in the workplace.
Yeah, it's such an important piece here around if you're going to shift some of your behaviors as a leader, making sure that the experience doesn't feel like you're pulling the rug out from underneath what the team has grown accustomed to. And you mentioned the words dance step. It is a dance step. And so if what I'm used to is I come into your office and you just give me the answers all the time, I'm not going to walk into this, different coaching conversation with open arms necessarily, because maybe I like the old way. Maybe the old way was even not only easy for you as the leader to just tell me what to do, but easier for me. I can just walk in and get the answer I need, and on I go without even realizing there's a different way.
Yeah.
And so that dance step is such an important piece to reframe for both sides.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So maybe as a last piece here, as we talk about the theoretical definition of coaching, let's spend a couple minutes on why focus on coaching. You know, it sounds good, it feels good, you know, as we're describing it, but from a theoretical perspective, the impact it has on climate is one of the reasons we're going to spend so much time on this particular style, because according to the Korn Ferry Hay Group theory, coaching out of the six styles that they define, one of the most, if not the most powerful leadership style in terms of its impact on what they define as climate, or, you know, the working environment people experience in their jobs. Coaching is really in most situations, and I think it's important what you said, Doug, earlier around not every situation is a coaching leadership style situation. There's a time and place for every single one of the six styles. But on balance, over time, what the Korn Ferry Hay Group theory would tell you is if you can lean into coaching often, will just lead to extremely positive climate or environment, which subsequently in their research leads to amazing results.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons I, very late in my career, when I was first exposed to the research in the assessment process that you're mentioning, what really blew me away of all the leadership assessments I'd ever been involved in over the years, and there have been a lot, this was the first that to me had very conclusive evidence about the impact on results of a leader. And one of the things I remember that really caught my attention around the coaching leadership style and its impact on climate is that the level of engagement that comes from the coaching leadership style, and then a term that they use is discretionary effort.
Yeah.
So it's that above and beyond. You just find people that are more engaged, they're feeling appropriately challenged, they feel respected. It's a great relationship with their leader. That's when you start to see people go above and beyond in their efforts. They're not watching the clock. You know, when it's 5 o'clock, I'm out the door. It's just, it doesn't even seem like a job. It's just something that they're very, very engaged in. So it has a huge impact on organizational results. We're not talking about it today because it's a nice thing to do for people. I do believe it's a nice thing to do for people because it develops them. But it's about bottom line results, and bottom line results that are repeatable. Because once you use this style, you're developing the inherent talents of the people that you're leading so that they can just continue to improve and improve upon the results. So as you mentioned, the evidence suggests it is one of the, if not the most powerful leadership style there is to drive results inside an organization.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you mentioned the impact it has on that discretionary effort. I think one of the main benefits from a theory and an observational perspective is the dependency that the coaching leadership style can alleviate. It's a lifting of a potential burden and a dependency on the leader to have all the answers, to, you know, provide the what to do at every twist and turn of the work being performed. It's about building that long-term capacity for the team to be able to think for themselves and be inspired and motivated to come in and do their best work, not just the bare minimum. And to your point, not sitting there watching the clock.
Yeah.
So yeah, with that, and we kind of splashed this a little bit already, but tell me about your first encounters with the coaching leadership style, maybe, you know, from multiple perspectives. One, as a leader yourself, either on the receiving end or coming to terms with your own style as a leader, and then definitely as a practitioner, student of leadership.
Well, in a way, John, I was hoping you weren't going to ask that question, because the story that goes with it is a little bit embarrassing. So I mentioned the assessment process I went through, the Korn Ferry Hay Group assessment process. And it was myself and several other leaders. We were on the executive team at Applebee's. And so this was my last corporate gig. I've been leading teams of people for quite some time with, you know, pretty favorable results and had received the requisite promotions and acknowledgement, different organizations I've been in. So it's like, yeah, I think I'm a pretty good leader. So I completed this assessment and I got my results. And it was a, how do I describe the process? It was a sobering process. And it's not that it was void of things that I was doing well, but boy, it pointed out some things to me that I had very little awareness of how I was leading. And here was one of the big shocks. In this assessment process, when you complete it, you evaluate yourself,
right?
Which is really a reflection on how you believe you lead people,
yeah,
interact with people. And then you get the feedback from your team. Here's the actual leadership styles that they experience from you. And I'll never forget, my self-assessment came back saying, man, I am a rock star when it comes to the use of this coaching leadership style. And the feedback I got from my people is, not so much.
Yeah.
And I remember getting those results in a workshop, and we were all getting our results at the same time. And it was a gut punch. I mean, I had a visceral emotional reaction to it. One, I was surprised. Two, I was disappointed I didn't have more awareness about it. And three, I almost felt like I needed to run out of the room and go apologize to my team, because I just had no idea. What the assessment indicated is, even though I thought I was great at coaching, what I was really doing was what we've talked about earlier, is giving people answers and directing their activity. And John, by the way, it all made sense, because I found my workdays getting longer and longer and longer. And the reason they were so long is I had become the answer person.
Yeah.
And so not only did I have my work to get done, but people were lined outside my door, or they were in queue in my inbox and my email or whatever it would look like, or getting invited to all kinds of meetings. And so it was a wake-up call for me. And I worked hard over the next year, really understanding the coaching leadership style better, being more intentional about using it. And then my follow-up assessment a year later, I wasn't exactly where I wanted to be, but a lot of progress had been made. And the last thing I'll share about kind of the happy ending to that story is my team noticed. I told them what I was working on. I asked them to help me be a better leader when it came to coaching.
Yeah.
And not only did my performance change, but their reaction to me and my leadership changed, and our results changed significantly as well. So it started out rough, becoming aware of this, but it was one of the most important development experiences I ever had in my life in terms of assessments and really getting clarity on how I truly was leading people and the impact I was having.
Yeah.
How about you? What was your experience?
Yeah, I think for me, in role as a leader, my first encounter with the theory behind the coaching leadership style and what it was all about was actually being trained to facilitate on it. So before I had had a chance to get my hands on an assessment, take any stock and how I'm leading myself. I was on a team with some other individuals who were tasked with putting together a big conference with breakout rooms and all this. And one of the topics that we had to facilitate on was the definition of the coaching leadership style. So I was in this weird situation where I had to get in front of a group of a couple hundred people and define it for them and talk them through this, the broader Korn Ferry Hay Group theory, but really define for them and arguably sell them on why they should use the coaching leadership style without really having any experience myself with it. So it's this really kind of awkward experience where I didn't get the chance to internalize it until I got back from that conference and started to examine my own leadership, because most of my focus leading up to that conference was I've got to be buttoned up in terms of the textbook definition of this theory before I get in front of this group. And so it was a weird way to kind of step into the theory without really starting with one of the pieces that I do want to talk to you about today, which is starting with self-awareness and examining how am I showing up. I didn't really get a chance to do that when I first encountered this theory and this leadership style. Now, shortly thereafter, I got a great opportunity to self-assess and and think about my impact. And unfortunately, shortly after that conference, I had to come to terms with my leadership because I had an individual who had put in their notice, their resignation. Mm. And this individual was graceful enough to offer me a kind of an exit conversation. And so we scheduled 30, 45 minutes together on this individual's last day. Unfortunately, I couldn't get them to, you know, reverse the decision. They decided, you know, they wanted to take a different opportunity with another organization. But sitting across from this individual, what I was faced with was the reality that I had a tremendous gap between intention and perception. And what this individual, because as I had facilitated the theory at that conference and thought about it, in my mind, I'm like, I think I do some of this. I think I'm a coach. I use the coaching leadership style. I learned very quickly in this interaction, this exit conversation, that that's not how I was being perceived, not how I was showing up. And the main feedback that was shared is this person said, myself and the rest of the team really feel like it's all about you. It's all about your achievements. And we're just kind of cogs in your wheel. And it just, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And it wasn't an assessment report. This is, you know, direct face-to-face feedback. And so it hit me hard. I had to think about that for a long time. Because I had never really before that time thought as much as I should have around the gap between intention and perception. And I think it's very easy as a young leader coming up the ranks to give yourself too much credit for your intent. And you get up in the morning, well, it's the thought that counts. And you don't really spend as much time maybe as you should on how's it landing with people? Is it resonating? Is it working? Is it contributing to their best work? Or am I actually holding them back? And in this instance, I really learned very clearly from this individual that I was holding back his best work and probably the best work of the rest of the team. And then that led to an even deeper, darker hole as I examined, shoot, I've been leading this way for quite some time. How many other people over the years have maybe felt that way? So it was this deep look into the rearview mirror, realizing that I'm not at all the leader, much less the coaching leader that maybe I thought I was. And so it was less clinical because there wasn't really an assessment tool to back it up. It was this very qualitative face-to-face interaction that forced me to come to terms with it. And maybe similar to your story, it did force a 180 in terms of my behaviors. And so that was an interesting process in and of itself, because I was guilty of shifting so quickly that it wasn't believable. I wanted to adopt some of these coaching mindsets and behaviors so rapidly that it shook things up a little too fast for the team. And that's, you know, kind of a story for another day. But that was my first encounter with the coaching leadership style. A really interesting experience. Well, that does it for part one of my conversation and this episode on defining the coaching leadership style with Doug Waltman. Stay tuned for part two of that conversation. And as always, thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to like and subscribe.